I came yesterday to speak at a conference that's being held in the Ramada Hotel. It used to be called the Renaissance, then the Ramada Renaissance. Now I think it's called the Ramada. And the conference is the annual conference of the organization known as Halichot Am Yisrael, which seeks to reinforce Batei Din around the world that deal with cases of Inyanei Mamonos. And every single year there's a different topic. And the topic that this year was the focus of the presentations was the topic of Yerusha V'Tzavos. So I spoke yesterday about the Inyan of Tanai B'Yerusha, about whether or not one is allowed to make Tanoim with respect to inheritance matters the same way that one is allowed to make Tanoim when it comes to Dine Mamonos. And one of the principles that emerged from the discussion is that Yerusha is different from other Dine Mamonos in one important respect, and that is that Yerusha is really a milsa de memela. Generally speaking, when it comes to mammon, a person can do with their money whatever they want to do with their money. But when it comes to Yerusha, so Yerusha is something that just happens to leave an individual's possession when they pass away, the Achamei Reisim Shana, and it just memela goes to the Yoresh. And therefore, we all are familiar with the general principle articulated by the Tosfos in Suvos and Daf Ayin Dalem and Aleph, that in order to be Matil tonight, you have to have a certain bialus over something. So if something's going to happen memela, even without one's participation, there's less bialus, and therefore there's less of an ability to be Matil tonight. So along the lines of the discussion of Yerusha, and whether one can stop an inheritance from playing out its normal course is a question that comes up with respect to Hilchos Pesach as well, and Maseches Pesachim, and particularly Perakol Shor, which is the limud of the yeshiva this year. And that is, what about if somebody dies and leaves chometz? So is chometz something which automatically passes through inheritance? And does it depend, perhaps, on the point in time in which the person passes away? And there are four different points in time which could be investigated in connection with this question. One point of time is when the chometz is still completely mutter. If a person, let's say, should be nifter the morning of Erev Pesach, when one is still allowed to eat chometz. The second question is, what if a person was nifter Erev Pesach le'achar sheish, le'achar chatzos? When there's already an Isser Hana'ah with respect to the chometz, what happens if the person dies and then there's chometz that goes for Yerusha? What are the responsibilities of the Yorshim? What are the ramifications of the chometz going for Yerusha? A third point in time would be if the Morish, the person who owns the chometz, dies during Pesach itself. And the fourth point in time would be if the Morish dies after Pesach has already concluded. So those would be essentially the four different frames of time. And it's interesting because just last year, somebody came to me with a shayla and said that they discovered that I don't know if it was their relative or they were speaking on behalf of a friend, somebody passed away on Erev Pesach, and it was discovered they had schnapps in their possession, and because they were very sick, in the last waning hours, it was not thought that they had time to do a mechiras chometz. They probably didn't do mechiras chometz. They may not have done bitzel chometz. They may not have done anything. They were just lying in their hospital bed. And now the son was yorish the chometz, and he only found out that he was yorish chometz after Pesach had already begun. So what is the status of that chometz? Is this going to be schnapps that is going to be also b'hana or not? And the Noda B'Yehuda, in a famous tshuva in Chelek Orach Chaim Siman Chof, deals with the other three scenarios. He deals with the scenario where the person who owns the chometz dies erev Pesach or achar chatzos, or dies during Pesach, or dies after Pesach. He doesn't deal with the first scenario. So we'll try to deal with this chronologically. So we'll deal with the first scenario, which is what if the person is nifter erev Pesach kodim chatzos. Generally speaking, if we're dealing with, say, the morning of Erev Pesach, in the up to 4 hours, one is allowed to eat chometz. It's a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, whether you're allowed to eat chometz during the 5th hour, and we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're not allowed to eat during the 5th hour, only during the 4th hour, but as the Grizz points out in his Chidushim al-Harambam, there isn't really a fundamental machlokis with respect to the status of the chepsa of chometz. The chepsa of chometz is essentially mutar b'achila, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, during the fifth hour. It's just a halchaka b'alma. And therefore, at least with respect to the first 5 hours of the day, we could generally work with the assumption that the chometz is certainly mutar b'hana, and even as a theoretical matter is mutar b'achila, so then it is completely in the possession of the morish. There's no question of the chometz not having been in its possession, and therefore the chometz would definitely pass as a matter of inheritance to the heir. Let's say there's a son, so the son would. Let's say there's one son, so the son would inherit the chometz. And then the question would be, what is his responsibility with respect to the chometz? So my colleague, Rabbi Chaim Jachter, asked the question of Rabbi Feivel Cohn. This is published in his Kol Torah articles. He said that maybe if somebody under those circumstances inherits chometz, maybe they have no responsibility to get rid of the chometz at all, because maybe even though for halachic purposes the chometz passes into his possession, from a secular law perspective, the estate of the decedent has to go through probate. Since there's a whole probate process, maybe it's not considered as if it's really in his possession yet, and if the probate is only going to be completed after Pesach, so maybe it's as if it's living in some type of intermediate non-ownership state, and therefore there are no responsibilities. And predictably, Rav Feivel Cohn answered that we have an important principle when it comes to Dina Yerusha, which is articulated in a famous Teshuvah of the Rashba, that we don't apply principles of Dina de Machusa Dina to laws of Yerusha. Laws of Yerusha are chok as described in the Torah, and they are not subject to modifications due to secular law. And therefore, even if the Dina de Machusa Dina is that the assets are considered to be in this purgatory state of a probate, nonetheless, for halakhic purposes, we follow the halakha, which is that they are definitely in the possession of the Yoresh. If they're definitely in the possession of the Yoresh, so the Yoresh has an obligation to be Mevayeret. If the Yoresh is not Mevayeret, then he would suffer all of the consequences of Chomet She'ava Lava Pesach, which, as we know, the halakha of Chomet She'ava Lava Pesach, which a person did not get rid of, would be that it would be Asa Bahana, and then he would not be, the son would not be able to be Neneh from this Chomet. But what if the son didn't know about it? He only found out afterwards. He only found out during Pesach, after Pesach, that the schnapps even existed. So then, does he have a possible out? So the halakha is that everybody does bittul. So if he was mevatel his chometz, so can we say that this chometz was included in the bittul? So maybe the chometz was included. He said, I'm going to be mevatel all the chometz that I have. And let's assume he did the bittul at a time after the inheritance, after the father died, so that he would have inherited the chometz automatically at that point in time. However, the Yerushalmi quotes the view of Rabbi Yochanan that we pass him like l'halacha, it's brought down in Siman Tov Memches in the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Hei, that even if a person does a bittul, if they subsequently discover chometz that they didn't know about, so then the chometz that they didn't know about, they're not allowed to enjoy, because we're worried they're going to do a harama. If we let people just rely on chometz that they find during Pesach, Because they did a bittul and they'll be able to enjoy that chometz, so then everybody's going to say, oh yeah, I did a bittul, don't worry, and they're not really going to have in mind even to be mabata the chometz, because they know that they're going to be enjoying the chometz after Pesach. So therefore we say that in order to prevent this type of harama, if there is chometz in the possession, then bittul is not going to work. Furthermore, the Rambam writes that even if it's b'shogeg, even if it's b'ones, You can't rely upon chometz that a person did not properly account for during Pesach. Now, truthfully, when the Rambam says, even b'shogeg, even b'onis, this is not the same halacha in which he writes that bittul doesn't work. So the Aruch HaShulchan says these are two different halachas, that if a person did bittul, that if a person didn't do bittul, and he didn't know about chometz, then even b'shogeg, even b'ones, we impose a penalty upon him that the chometz is still going to be us, even though it was b'shogeg or b'ones. But if he did bittul, and you have a shogigah ba'onis, so then you can be makel. So in such a case, if a person did bittul and it was just a complete onus, he didn't know that the chometz had come into his possession. So according to the Aruch HaShulchan's interpretation, it would certainly be mutter. The Mishnah Berurah is not as sanguine and thinks that the two halachos in Shulchan Aruch that brought the one halacha is brought in Siman Tov Mem Ches Sif Gimel about shogeg or onus, and the other about how bittul isn't good enough for a chometz that you that still is in the person's possession is in Sif Hei. So Mishnah Berurah puts it together and says he thinks that they might be an extension or an overlap of the same halacha, and that even if a person did bittul, if he and he was b'shogeg or ba'onis in terms of not knowing that certain chometz was in his possession, those who are machmir, even b'shogeg or ba'onis, would be machmir in this case as well. But he quotes a base mayor who says that if it was such an onus gomer that a person couldn't even have been ole al hadas, that there would be chometz, like he had a certain wheat that was in the mill right before Pesach, and then in the middle of Pesach, a goy worker came along and turned the grains into flour and made the chometz cake out of it, which he couldn't have possibly anticipated under any circumstances. So then, if it's a real onus gomer, shlo hayelo la'alos al hadas b'chlal, so then this, it's possible to be mekel. So according to the base mayor's distinction, you could probably distinguish in this case of the father who died suddenly with the shtaps as to whether he should have envisioned that the father probably had schnapps or may have had chometz in his possession that he didn't properly get rid of. And if it was something that would have made sense for him to think about, so maybe that wouldn't be an onus gomer. And if it's something that wouldn't have made sense for him to know about, then maybe it would be an onus gomer, and you can distinguish in that fashion. But the Mishnah Berurah also says that b'makom hefsein meruba, that certainly, even if it's not an onus gomer of the kind that's discussed by the base mayor, if it's mamash a hefsein meruba, so then you could be somech on the mekilim who would say that certainly in a case of onus gomer, and certainly if the person actually did bittul, then one could be somech on that combination of factors, which, as I mentioned, is something which the Aruch HaShulchan is prepared to rely upon as well. So it could be, it's very expensive schnapps. It could be a schnapps which is worth $100,000. Who knows? Maybe the person had an entire stash and a cellar that was set aside the very expensive liquor, and it's really worth a lot of money. So if it would be a hefsein meruba, so then mistama, one would not have to lose all of that money because of the fact that they did not realize that there was chometz in the possession. But there's also the possibility that maybe the mechiras chometz, if the son does the mechiras chometz, maybe the mechiras chometz would cover it. If in fact a person does a mechiras chometz, so it happens in the Mekor Chaim says that you should identify very, very clearly every single item of chometz that's sold. So if you're identifying every single item and you're making the sale exclusive to those items, so then it could be that the the liquor would not be covered by the bill of sale. However, Rabbi Akiva Eger recommends in a Teshuva Simon Zayin Madura Tanina of Tanyana of Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger recommends that a person should always have a catch-all expression whenever they sell chametz. I should say, I'm selling, in addition to these very specific items, kol chametz sheyesh li b'olam. So if a person wrote kol chametz sheyesh li b'olam, so that's a pretty broad and sweeping statement that would presumably include even the chametz that they had just inherited without realizing it at the time of mechiras chametz. Although there's a possibility if the mechiras chametz takes place at the beginning of the fifth hour and the father dies 20 minutes later, so maybe then it wasn't included in the shtar. But if you look at the Sefer Mechiras Chometz Kilchaso, he quotes a number of achronim who are of the opinion that you could draft the shtar in such a way that it actually embraces any chometz that the person is going to bring into their possession afterwards during the time in which they have the ability to still discard of their chometz before it becomes asa bahana. So therefore, if you had all of those lashonos, so then even if there wasn't the possibility of relying upon the heter of bittul, because it wasn't an onus gomer and it's not a hefseid the meruba, nonetheless, if there was mechiras chometz and the mechira has this catch-all phrase, so then one would be able, presumably, to rely upon the mechiras chometz. This is just another reason, since the one never knows what they might be inadvertently inheriting during the last hours of the heter to eat and enjoy your chometz on Erev Pesach morning, what a rich uncle might be dying and leaving them, you know, a fortune of chometz, that it's always a good idea to have this type of very broad language. Certainly it works according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, and since at the end of the day we're only talking about a knas mean the Rabbanan, so presumably one could be Mekel in any of the legitimate shitas out there. It's good to have a good catch-all phrase that would be able to cover this type of scenario. Now, if we're not dealing with the first 5 hours of the day, but we're dealing with the sixth hour of the day, so this already is a little bit more complicated. So you have to think about why, on what basis does a person have the penalty of the knas of not being able to enjoy chametz after Pesach altogether. So it's because a person did not discharge their responsibility to be mevayer chometz that was in their possession. So that's a question as to whether chometz really passes to their possession starting from the time that it becomes asa bahana. So the note of Yehuda says that he says he says he doesn't think that there's any question whatsoever that the chometz doesn't actually pass into the possession of the yoresh once the chometz becomes asa bahana. So chometz for sure becomes asa bahana after 6 hours of the day. We know that after 6 hours of the day, that's the halakha, we pass them like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that chometz is asa bahana'a, both lifnei zmano, meaning after 6 hours of the day, betoch zmano, within Pesach, and la'achar zmano, and after Pesach as well. He has three different psukim that teach the issur achilas Pesach, or machmetzis lo sukhe lo seyach, or chometz lo sukhal alav chometz. There are three different psukim. Since we know there's an issur hanah by chometz, either because of Chizki or Rabbi Avo, Chizki learned some of the lashon of lo seyachel, it didn't say an issur hanah. According to Rabbi Avo, whenever I have a lashon of lo soklu, it automatically includes an issur hanah. So even if you hold by Chizki, then you need a lo seyachel. So Tosfos writes that since the lo seyachel would teach us the issur hanah, at least with respect to one of the three psukim, so therefore Rabbi Yehuda would extend it to all the three psukim. So therefore we know that Rabbi Yehuda holds that there is an issur hanah, and so it appears from the brisa on Chof Ches Amud Beis, that whenever there's an Issur Achila, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's an Issur Hanah, it says so explicitly. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's certainly an Issur Hanah, La'acha Sheisha'os, and the Rosh says that even though we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, La'acha Pesach, we hold that there's no Issur Hanah, Deraisa, it's only Rabbi Rabbanan like Rabbi Shimon, but nonetheless, we don't take all three psukim that Rabbi Yehuda employed, but we need two of the three psukim. So the lo kol machmetzis lo sochel we use for something else, but the other two psukim we employ, and therefore there is an issur hanah. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, both before Pesach and within Pesach. There's an issur hanah. So if there is an issur hanah, so then we have the principle which is articulated by Rabbi Elazar on Vav Amud Beis and Baba Kama Choftes Amud Beis. That shnei dvarim asu akash enam b'shusa shel adam asu akasuv kilu b'shusa shel adam. There are two things that are not considered within a person's possession, but they're considered as if they're within a person's possession. One is chametz la'acha sheishos, and the other is bor b'shusa rabim. So why are these things not considered to be in a person's possession? So Rashi writes explicitly in Baba Kama Daf Chof Tes Amud Beis that the reason why it's not in a person's possession, at least with respect to the chametz, is because it's asu b'hana. The chometz is asa bahana. So anything which is asa bahana, so Rashi says, therefore it's not in the person's possession. So really the person would have no responsibility because it's not in their possession. But nonetheless, we say, no, we're going to hold that there's a special zeres hakasuv that if a person is not mevayer chometz, they have to be mekayim the mitzvah of tashpisu. If they're not mekayim the mitzvah of tashpisu, they're not mevayer the chometz. So then they will be over on lo yeyra'a v'lo yimatze, and since they're over on lo yeyra'a v'lo yimatze, so then the knas that is imposed after Pesach is over for being over on lo yeyra'a v'lo yimatze, as the Gemara says on Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, would pertain to this individual. So says the Note of Yehuda, that's only true. When is it that we say that even though the chometz is asa bahana, we make it as if it is in the person's rishus? That's with respect to the person who actually owned the chometz all along. However, this poor yoresh, who didn't do anything wrong, he's a poor innocent soul, so we're going to take something which wasn't in his rishus, and we're going to take something which is now a davar asur, it's a davar she'asur bahana, and we're going to be morishit to the son, so certainly we're not going to be morishit to the son. So he assumes it's a davar pashut, that we're not going to be morishit to the son. So the footnotes to the Avnei Miluim says, why is that a davar pashut? That shouldn't be a davar pashut. It's a Gemara in Kiddushin which says in Daf Yudayin that if a goy dies and he leaves two children, one is a goy and the other is a son who converted to Judaism, is a ger, and he leaves a avodah zarah, and he leaves, not Avodah Zarah, he leaves, you know, something, some valuable, treasures. Since the Yerusha of the Ger, of the son who converted to Judaism, is only Midrabanan, so then we say he has the right to say to his brother the Goy, you take the Avodah Zarah and I'll take the non-Avodah Zarah stuff. However, if it would be a Yerusha Daraisa, so then we would say he wouldn't have the right to do that because whatever he takes would be Chilufei Avodah Zarah, would be essentially getting Hanah from the Avodah Zarah. So it says, also in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, this argument that if even Avodah Zarah, despite the fact that it's clearly Asa B'Hanah, is something which the Gemara indicates very clearly passes an inheritance, because they have to, the Jewish son has to make a choice and say, you take the Avodah Zarah and I'll take something else. So certainly, chometz, which is also a kasu kilu b'shuso, so how much more so it would be in somebody's possession, that certainly shepeks b'yerusha. So therefore he says that it must be that the Noda B'Yehuda forgot about this Gemara, didn't pay sufficient attention to this Gemara. Had he done so, he never would have concluded what he concluded. But given that the Noda B'Yehuda concludes what he concludes, so the Noda B'Yehuda says, so therefore it doesn't go into the possession of the son at all, and the son does not have any obligation to be mevar the chometz. According to the Ha'ara to the Avnei Miluim and the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the son absolutely has an obligation to get rid of obligation to get rid of the chometz, and so too writes the Mekor Chaim, aka the Nesivos, also writes that Kivin deRachmana Achshavei the chometz, the Torah says that we're going to treat the chometz like it's in your Rishus, that you're going to be open by your Rov Ayimate. So therefore, it's Akshavei Lagavi the son as well. So it's also considered to be a viable possession, not only for the father, but it would go for the inheritance to the son as well. So we see that not everybody agrees with the Noda B'Yehuda. And it's interesting. There was a question that's posed with respect to the other case that's described in the Gemara as well. What if you have a Bor V'Shus HaRabim, and then the person who dug the Bor V'Shus HaRabim, since it's in a Rishus HaRabim, so that's why it's not really in his Rishus, but the Torah says he's chaya for any nezek which would arise from the Bor V'Rishus HaRabim. That's a special gzeiras hakasuv. So what if the person who dug the Bor now dies? So does the Yoresh have a responsibility with respect to the Bor V'Rishus HaRabim? So Ratzvi Pesach Frank quotes this chakira, which was raised by the Rav Yeshua Leib Diskin raises this question quoted by Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, and Rav Yeshua Leib Diskin takes its side against the Noda B'Yehuda and says that he thinks that once the person has already died, since Yerusha is a Milsa de Mimela, as we mentioned at the beginning of our discussion, and it just sort of goes automatically and you can't be Matil Tanoim as to whether you want to be Yorish or not, so once the Torah already declares that this Bor is considered to be in the possession of the father for liability purposes, so therefore it would pass to the son as well, and therefore the son would have the liability with respect to this Bor. And Rav Pesach Frank himself thinks that this is more analogous to the analysis of the Noda B'Yehuda, that he thinks that if in the Noda B'Yehuda's case, the Noda B'Yehuda would say that the chometz, because it's a davar shel isser hanah, doesn't pass in possession to the son. Certainly the Bor, which is arguably even less of an actual possession, this is really just a liability assignment, doesn't use that terminology, but I could see that's what you were about to say, so therefore I'm putting the words in your mouth. All the more so that this is something which shouldn't pass B'Yerusha. But Lamaisa, this is the analysis. So then the Noda B'Yehuda says that if this is the case, so what about if the father died during Shas Sheish? Shas Sheish, we also have the statement of Gidol HaMarav, there's somebody's Mekadesh B'chometz B'Shos D'Rabbanon, then the woman is Eina Mekadesh La'acha Sheish B'chitzei Kornaisa, that the woman is not Mekudeshin. And the Gemara uses that as a proof that even during the Gemara in Zion Amud Aleph uses that as a proof that even during the sixth hour, either because that statement of Rav Gidol is talking about the sixth hour, or because that statement of Rav Gidol is talking about Mekadesh La'acha Sheish B'chometz D'Rabbanan, and I could draw an analogy to the sixth hour, but we see from that Gemara during the sixth hour as well, chometz is also b'hanah. So he says that, yeah, that we could extend this principle to the Chometz Yoreh, somebody who died during the sixth hour. If we say in Kol Shishin the Kiddushin, that the person really has no possession of the, for mamonis purposes, other than Bayirah, Bayimot, only for Issa purposes they have possession, that would also not pass to the son, unless you hold like those we showed him, who say that during this, like the Ramban, who says that during the sixth hour we would say Kol Shishin the Kiddushin, that we don't consider it completely out of their possession, so then you could be done on the sixth hour. I don't think that the Shiloh of the Noda Behuda was exactly the sixth hour, though, and the Shiloh that was presented to me was not the sixth hour, but the sixth hour would certainly be a particularly interesting Shiloh, because it would depend on which sheet of Rishonim you held by as to whether we would say Ein Kol Shishin the Kiddushin and all if somebody was Mekadesh B'chometz during the sixth hour, or whether we would say Kol Shishin the Kiddushin. But either way, certainly La'acha Sheshos, when the Chometz is certainly Aser B'hana'a, so no, the Yehuda assumes that then the Chometz would not pass on to the sons. But that does not mean that the Chometz would be Mutta B'hana La'acha Pesach. Those are two distinctly different questions. One question is, do the sons have a Chiyuv L'Bitmi Mebar L'Chometz? Would they themselves be open by Yerov Ayimotze? But the other question is that is there a somebody who was open by Yerov Ayimotze or some type of iser that occurred to this chometz, whether or not it was the son's responsibility, where the son would then have to suffer the consequences of this iser la'achar Pesach. So he says, well, that really depends on when Bayirov Ayimase kicks in. So we generally assume the Bayirov Ayimase only kicks in Belayla. It doesn't kick in la'achar Sheshos. La'achar Sheshos, the iser hanar kicks in. But Bayirov Ayimase, the Rambam writes in Perakim HaHalacha Ches, the Bayirov Ayimase, exactly what the Rambam writes. But the Rambam is understood by the Magen Mishnah as being of the opinion that Bayirov Vayimatzi only kicks in Belayla. The Ravid understands the Rambam in what appears to be Kipshuto, that Bayirov Vayimatzi kicks in La'achar Sheshos. So the Noda Behuda says, if you assume like the Magen Mishnah, the Bayirov Vayimatzi only kicks in Belayla and not La'achar Sheshos, so then the father, if he died La'achar Sheshos and before night kicked in, nobody was oven by Yerov Vayimase. Since nobody was oven by Yerov Vayimase, so therefore, for sure, this chometz is not going to be Aser B'hana'ah. It's like the case of the Yerushalmi, which is quoted by the Chok Yaakov at the beginning of Hilchos Pesach, where the Yerushalmi says, if a ger dies and he doesn't have any relatives, and he leaves chometz, so that chometz is going to be mutzah b'hana'ah la'achar Pesach. It just becomes hefker. Nobody was oven by Yerov Vayimase. There was no person in possession of that chometz to be oven by Yerov Vayimase during Pesach, and therefore the chometz becomes mutzah b'hana'ah. So too in this case as well, if the person died before the Isra Bayirov Vayimatzi actually set in, so nobody is going to be over on Bayirov Vayimatzi, and therefore the Chometz is going to be Mutar Bahana La'achar Pesach. But then he points out that, of course, the Ravid interprets the Rambam as holding Bayirov Vayimatzi actually kicks in La'achar Sheshos. Interestingly, you will find, incredibly enough, you'll find a shita about pretty much anything with respect to the Shita Satanaim of what exactly is going on with respect to the Chometz between Sheshos and nighttime. So you'll find the Ravid al-Harif who says that according to Rabbi Shimon, mind you, who's of the opinion that the Chometz is Mutar Bahana until the nighttime and maybe even Mutar Ba'achila until the nighttime. It also says it's not Mutar Ba'achila according to Rabbi Shimon, but it's, you know, certainly Mutar Bahana. The Ron says it's also Bana according to Rabbi Shimon, but maybe it's Mutar Ba'achila. I don't know. It's some strange shitas. But the Ravid al-Harif says that even according to Rabbi Shimon, Bayirov Vayimatzi kicks in La'achar Sheshos. So the Noda Behuda assumes through his whole discussion that it would only be according to Rabbi Yehuda anyway that there might be an Issa Bayirov Vayimatzi La'achar Sheshos. But the reality is that it's not so pashut that it's not true even within Rabbi Shimon. So he assumes that if there would be a problem by Yerov Vayimatze, so then you would be able to make the argument to say, oh, the Issa by Yerov Vayimatze already set in. So once that Issa set in, even though the person died, once there already was an Issa, so then the Chometz would become Aser to the whole world afterwards, and it would become Aser to the son. And certainly, if the mace died during Pesach itself, when everybody agrees that he already would have been over on Bayirov Vayimatzi, assuming he didn't properly get rid of his chometz, so then for sure the Isser Hana would pertain to the son at the time that after the time that the father would die in the middle of Pesach. But then the Noda B'Yuda has a tremendous chiddush, which is one which is disagreed with by many other achronim. The Noda B'Yuda argues that really, even if the father was over and Bayirah Vayimatzeh, the reason why this chometz would be usher would not be because of Bayirah Vayimatzeh. Because during Pesach, the chometz is usher because it's usher to eat chometz on Pesach. It's usher to have hanah from chometz on Pesach. The knas that results from the fact that someone was over Bayirah Vayimatzeh only kicks in 1 minute after Pesach is over. So as long as the person dies at some point in the time before Pesach concludes, so there never was a single unit in time in which this chometz became usher because of the knas, and once it didn't become usher because of the knas, that can't be passed on to the heirs. It can't be passed on to the children. And he tainas that the same is true with respect to somebody who steals chometz. If I have a gazlan who steals chometz, even though the pashtus of the Gemara that the gazlan is allowed to say harei shalcha lefanecha when he returns it to the nigzal, sounds like the nigzal is not exactly getting a bargain. The Behuda thinks that the nigzal actually would be allowed to be nene from the chometz after it was returned by the gazlan, because at the moment the Pesach is over, we say that the chometz already is supposed to be returned to the reshus of the nigzal, and therefore it wasn't in the hands of anybody who rightfully had an ownership claim to it for 1 minute after Pesach, and therefore that knas cannot be transferred to the nigzal. And so too, says the Noda to Behuda, the knas cannot be transferred to the son if the father did not live past Pesach. It is only in the case, says the Noda to Behuda, where the father actually lives 1 minute after Pesach and only then passes away, that the Yoresh at that point has no choice but to inherit the knas, because the halacha is that once somebody was oven by Yerov by Yimotzeh and is subject to the knas, we paskin, as the Rambam points out, that this chometz is usher to the entire world. The Rambam adds it's usher to the entire world forever, li'olam. There's no point in time, even though you can go to the supermarket after a certain point in time to buy, even if the supermarket was owned by a Jew and didn't sell its chometz, so you wait a certain amount of time and then you buy. It's not because all the chometz that was over a lava Pesach then at a certain point in time magically becomes transformed to become mutter. It's just that at a certain point in time, one can assume that the merchandise in the store is no longer chometz of a lava Pesach. But if it is in fact chometz of a lava Pesach, so then that becomes usher forever, and then the Yoresh would basically be stuck if they inherited this chometz that was of a lava Pesach that was not disposed of properly by a parent. If the parent died after Pesach, which goes to show you that all of the heterim, basically, that we have been discussing are presupposing that the father in this case is a father who only this particular year, maybe because he was on his deathbed, did not get around to disposing of this wonderful collection of schnapps. But had this father, in fact, been somebody who had this wonderful collection of schnapps for many years and just was not a very observant person and never properly disposed of the schnapps during Pesach, so then it would follow that it doesn't really matter when he passed away during this Pesach, whether it was after Pesach, during Pesach, l'achar sheishalos, or even in the morning, since he already went through a Pesach in which this schnapps was in his possession and he didn't properly get rid of it, the chometz would forever afterwards be usher, unless you assume like the Gemara at the beginning of Chulin, where the Gemara in Chulin says that chemson shel ovrei avera amutar miyad, that if I have chometz of those who are mumar l'teyavon, who only sin because they just can't withstand the desire, then their chometz is mutter after Pesach. Why is the chometz mutter after Pesach? Because we assume that lo shavik heter v'achol isura, that they say if they have isura in their possession, they'll sell it, you know, they'll get rid of it, and they'll get permitted produce in its stead, and therefore whatever they give over to you is going to be the permitted produce, because they're not going to keep the prohibited produce in their possession. It happens this Gemara is not brought down halacha l'maaseh, so it's not entirely clear whether we assume that way, but even this halacha would only be restricted to somebody who was a mumar l'teyavon, but somebody who just was probably more of a tinok shenishba, or somebody for whom it is known that it's not a question that they're committing isurim based on taiva, they just have no idea what to do, like a person who happens to have a parent who's just not at all in the frum community. He doesn't know about chometz, doesn't know about selling chometz or getting rid of chometz. So then it's very unclear that one would be able to apply that gemara, certainly given that it's not brought down halacha lemaisa, but even misvara, it doesn't appear that that would be a possible out. So if it were known that the chometz was not disposed of properly in previous years, it would seem that whatever occurred this time around would not be of a tremendous help to the son in question. And therefore, all of the heterim pretty much presuppose that the only season of Pesach that we are worried about, or where we think that this schnapps may have gone through a period in which it was not properly disposed of, was in fact this season where this decedent passed away without properly disposing of their chometz. Among the later authorities who came after the Noda B'Yehuda, generally speaking, when there was any kind of question whether to rely upon the Noda B'Yehuda or whether to be choshesh like the notation from the Avnei Miluim, or from the other sources that I mentioned that cast from the Nesivos. They cast questions on this, on the Mekor Chaim of this Ksos. So the Maharsham has a tshuva like this, and the Maharsham basically says that in a situation where it occurs, so then Yeshal Malismoch to Paskin like the Noda B'Yehuda, and he has other Svaros as well that he throws in the mix. But essentially, given that we're talking about a Knas Midrabanan, it certainly helps in terms of being machriya lahakel in these types of cases. The Noda B'Yehuda himself throws a nail into his own analysis with respect to somebody who is meis la'achar sheish, because he says that la'achar sheish, he really thinks at the end of the day he would his own reading of the Rambam is that the Rambam is of the opinion that one is over on Bayiro, Bayimotze, even before Laila, so that therefore there would be a Knas already beginning at that point in time. He says, nonetheless, one can be Makel based on his conclusion that the actual Knas does not become inherited by the heir unless the mace actually lives past Pesach. But he says that it's sort of interesting because it would be more problematic according to Rabbi Shimon. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, that the chometz is mutar b'hana'ah, so that until nighttime, so if the person would die la'achar sheish, according to Rabbi Shimon, you actually would be in worse shape, because then the heirs would actually inherit the chometz, since it's not also b'ana, they would inherit the chometz, and then they would have a real responsibility to get rid of the chometz, and if they didn't get rid of the chometz before Pesach kicked in, so then they would be subject to the knas. And certainly if you're probably the opinion like the Ravid on the Rif, that Bayro Bayimotze would kick in right away, according to Rabbi Shimon, even before Laila, so then they wouldn't even have the opportunity to get rid of it without being subject to the knas. But Lemaisa, given that we essentially paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, if you accept the logic and analysis of the Noda B'Yehuda, then you basically are in the clear. So the maskana, it seems that in the ruba deruba of cases where this very strange scenario might play itself out, where people would inherit a chometz around the time of Pesach itself, in most of the cases, the heirs are probably going to be okay. If the person died before Pesach, they'll probably be okay because they probably will be able to rely upon their bittul, even if they didn't know about the chometz. If it's a case of an onus gomer, as the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the name of the Beis Meir, and certainly if it's a hefsed meruba, and if they did the mechiras chometz properly, then it will be included within the mechiras chometz. And if it occurs during that time, if the death of the person happens after the chometz becomes also banah, either b'shah sheish or certainly la'achar shas sheish, then if you accept the analysis of the Noda B'Yehuda, that they don't actually inherit the chometz because it's a davar she'eino b'rishuso, then the only question would be whether the knas that had been applicable to the father would be applicable to them. And then the Noda Behuda concludes that that only becomes actually transferred after Pesach has ended. However, if the Morish, in this case, did not get rid of their chometz properly and died even 1 second after Pesach was over, then Aliba de Kulei Alma, this chometz would in fact become Aser de Kulei Alma, and that would be really the only case where there would be a general consensus that the chometz would definitely be Aser. And as far as whether we apply this principle as a general matter, that something which is lo b'shuso shalodim erkasav aso b'shuso, and we say that because something was aso b'hana'a, then it doesn't pass b'yerusha to the children, is something which is very hotly contested and debatable, as the Mekor Chaim points out, as the Hagos on the Ha'oros Liavni Miluim points out from the Gemara in Kiddushin, and therefore it also becomes questionable as well to what degree we would apply this type of a kula to the case of the Bor Bereshus Harabim, where again, according to Yeshua Lev Diskin, quoted by Ratzvi Pesach Frank, since Yerusha is the Milsa of the Memela, certainly in the case of the Nezik, he was of the opinion that this would pass Yerusha, and Ratzvi Pesach Frank thought that one would be able, in his own gut response, thought that one would be able to rely on the svar of the Noda Behuda, that for the Bor Bereshus Harabim, the heir would not be considered to be a Yoresh, and therefore would not have the responsibility of whatever occurred as a result of that Nezik. Okay, stop here. Okay.